We are WNSG, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're positively here in Ocean City, Maryland. I've got the Lucky Sevens doublers to give away, as well as I'm putting the whammy on the Pressure Lux. It is our 27th anniversary. Eat my 27 favorite foods, including in Salisbury, Maryland, all over this great state. I went to beautiful Hooper's Island yesterday to get a crab cake, a delicious crab cake at Old Salty's. We are making our way back to Balmer soon. We're going to have some Fisher's popcorn down here in Ocean City. It is all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as our newest sponsor at GBMC. I'll be telling you more about that. This is our annual get-together. John Martin and I usually get together virtually. Seth and I get together virtually, except when I'm not in his Pittsburgh Penguins office at the Maryland Lottery. Maryland Lottery and Gaming fiscal year annual summary comes out here now. John is here. He's executive director of all things Maryland Lottery and Gaming. Seth Elkin, of course, communications director here to communicate.
He's my interpreter.
Welcome to Ocean City. Ain't got no oceans like this in Pittsburgh or Ohio for either one of you guys, right?
No, not at all.
We got rivers.
There we go.
We got rivers. We got
rivers and lakes. Lakes and rivers.
And some mountains from time to time.
Yep.
Every year this comes out, and I guess when I met you fellas and started doing this, there was no sports wagering year, fiscal year 2025. That didn't start until 22, 23, right?
It was a one-pager. Yeah.
You handed this to me, and sometimes it's a little wonky, and sometimes it's two pages, but it's literally pie charts and everything in four pages of where all of this money goes, all the 3,300, how many retailers?
4,300
now. Actually, we're up again. And all the money, it's got a lot of zeros and a lot of digits and all that.
A lot of zeros, yes.
But I think that the overriding thing for anybody out there that buys a Maryland Lottery ticket is, A, the game's on the up and up, so let's start with that. Or if you're wagering on your phone, doing any of these things that involve gambling in our state, casinos, let's go through, MGM, Live, Horseshoe, Hollywood, Ocean Downs, Rocky Gap. Yes, I've been to all of them. Oh, I've been to all of them this year, I think. And then all of the games, pick three, pick four. We got Mega and Powerball at $500 million and all that. But where this money goes and how it winds up not being Louis the bookmaker or the mafia, this is real money that goes into this state that helps everybody in the state. And today's your day to kind of stand up and, I don't say brag about it, but at least explain these hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars.
It's exactly. Yeah, no, thank you for the opportunity to do that. Seth and I enjoy talking about and bragging on what we're able to do as a valued member of the Moore administration and what we do each and every day across the great state. You know, it's really been born out of cobbled together over the years. I mean, as we started 50-plus years ago with our lottery,
Pick three, right?
We had pick games, and then we brought in scratch games, and then, you know, things evolved to the point now where on the lottery side alone with the 4,300 retailers, you know, we're doing significant amounts of money each and every year, over $1 billion in scratch-off sales, over $2 billion in total sales, which when you extrapolate that in terms of what actually goes out back to the state coffers was over $670 million this year, and we don't manage the distribution of it. A lot of people don't understand that we generate the funds, and then we have different beneficiaries for lottery, for casino gaming, for sports wagering, and those are typically other agencies or other departments within the state, and they then disperse the funds.
General fund. No? What is that called? They're all earmarked.
General
correct?
Fund. Yeah, okay. It used to be on the lottery side that it all went through the general fund. And over the years, and in the document that we've shared with you, there have been a series of things that are set asides. And it could be things that relate to Baltimore City Schools. It could be the Maryland Stadium Authority. You know, one of the things we're proud of is our relationship with, I don't know if you're going to have Terry on or talk to any of the folks from MSA. But again, there's a lot that we do hand in hand with them that helps fund things like the $600 million that goes to Oriole Park at Camden Yards. It goes to M&T Bank Stadium.
I just had the Mayor Frederick on, and he told me about $40 million for the new ballpark there.
Yeah,
literally
exactly.
You know, it sounds like a ballpark or whatever, but you're in Frederick, and they put the keys back. You're a sports guy. I'm a sports guy. there's going to be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that go there,
yeah.
that it, the stadium money comes from this, literally, right?
And the number that I love when we talk about the lottery is that about 96 cents out of every dollar that gets spent on lottery tickets goes back out somewhere. It either goes to player prizes, to profit to the state. About a quarter of each dollar goes into the state coffers and pays for all kinds of things. And then our retailers, there's a portion that goes to retailer commissions. So we run the lottery on just under 4 cents out of each dollar that we make. So think about that. You know, think about it in those terms, that 96 cents out of the dollar is going back out somewhere.
And, how much do the winners get? About 50% of the whole?
63%.
Yep. I just want to get the numbers right. Okay.
Yep. And these things are fairly typical around the country. I mean, the Maryland Lottery is one of 48 lotteries in the United States, plus the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. And those things, you know, all fall in the same category. So you look at our distribution of prizes, like Seth said, and our profit portion, it's pretty consistent whether you're in Michigan or Ohio or Pennsylvania. That distribution is pretty much the same.
There's a model.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, best practices probably more than anything else, right?
Exactly. You know, that drives a lot of it. And not the least of which, I mean, you have to offer, the biggest portion of every pie has to be the prizes to the players. That's what gets people in the front door. They have to have
it. So gets my wife to buy them.
And we thank her for that. But again, it has to be on the up and up, as you say. It's got to be fair and equitable and done with integrity and with responsible gaming practices in place as well. So that all gets melded together. But again, the lottery beneficiaries are different than the gaming beneficiaries, which are primarily the Education Trust Fund and other ancillary programs there. And then again, just to round it out before I toss it back to Seth, sports wagering, it's the blueprint for Maryland's Future Fund, is the prime beneficiary for sports wagering.
$90 million, right? So this is brand new. Look, everybody listening out here feels like every time I'm in a bar, they got their phone out, looking at the – when I'm in – sports bars or restaurants now, I'm seeing odds everywhere. Obviously, if you're watching the games, they're into all of that. I tell people to be careful with this because I've been in the sports space 35 years. There are no experts, not even us, as much as we like things, knowing how the ball bounces. But it's come a long way very, very quickly, right? I mean, from illicit, you got to go to Las Vegas, to it's in the palm of your hand anytime along that continuum, there's just a lot of money that's been left behind that honestly, in my line of work, Louis the bookmaker's been getting his money, you know, all those years, you know. And I think that is when I answer to people about, oh, the lottery, you know, you're taking advantage of people, I'm like, no, this is going on. The citizens want this, right? And this is a whole new page that didn't exist 48 months ago, right? I mean, literally.
I think it's interesting to see the ramp up that's happened in the activity in sports wagering. You know, we had a year ago when we were here having this conversation, we were talking about $60 million in contribution to the state. It was $89 million in contribution for FY25. So it's a $30 million increase over 1 year. And that number is going to be inflated a little bit, somewhat artificially, because the percentage that the mobile operators pay to the state is going to increase now. It went up by 5% according to the new budget that was implemented for this year. So it's going to go up again. We're going to be here next year talking about probably $100 million or somewhere right thereabouts. So, but again, I think that reflects what you're talking about, that there's activity out there that was happening perhaps in an illegal market, in a gray market, and now is being brought into a legal, regulated market, which is what we want to see.
Well, you saw shirts that you sweat through a couple years ago trying to get it done, right? I mean, it was just a real process to bring it online, and there was a lot of pressure, and because of how much money the state wasn't getting, that it wasn't set up right.
Well, yeah, and fortunately, we had a lot of people involved. Our chairman of the Maryland Lottery and Gaming Commission at the time, Randy Mariner, was very instrumental in that. Our chairman today
makes a nice drink over there. I'm just saying. Had a few of his beverages.
Our current chairman, Everett Brownie, is very involved. So, you know, there's so much Seth and I can do, but for a lot of the other things that have to relate across other agencies or, you know, interact with the governor's team, you know, we really rely on that 7-member Maryland Lottery Gaming Control Commission to help us get things regulated, get things put in place and allocate the funds properly.
Well, I was going to say, what's important to the lottery moving forward? But you're always rolling things out. Like, I mean, even the fun we have every week talking about this art contest in regard to we're here at Mako and we're going to do fun things like that. But just games that are getting rolled out, new things. And then the thing that stops everything is when a jackpot's $600-700 million, right? There's always the possibility of that. But next week we'll be talking about Raven scratch-offs coming out. There is some freshness to this as it rolls through, always.
Oh, you know, to everything there's a season. I mean, the things do change, but yet they can to some degree stay the same. So, yeah, it's been a while, but it's typically every summer in August. We've got our next iteration of our Ravens family of games, two games out in the marketplace. So I don't know if you're able to share any more details on what players might expect.
Yep, they're coming Friday. Ravens times two, Ravens times 10.
They're going to be purple?
I think one of them is white, I believe. I've seen the ticket art, so I believe. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
All right.
We do two Ravens tickets every year. They start to run together on me, and of course, anything that's got a Ravens logo or purple on it, you know, as a Pittsburgher, I'm not really paying that close attention.
Why do I bring him?
I don't know why you bring him.
I don't know either.
How's Joe Flacco looking in your camp?
You know what?
QB1. This is the year I get to beat you guys up real good.
Better than Kenny Pickett.
Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco. You got any quarterbacks under 40? Anybody or no?
Did you say Pro Bowler Snoop? Did you get him in the mix too?
No.
Yeah.
All right, well,
he's there too.
We'll play twice. We'll play twice, and it'll be all good. Seth Elkin is here. He communicates for the Maryland Lottery. John Martin, Executive Director of All Things Maryland Lottery. So, Seth, I'm bringing you in on this, and anybody can go up the line at mdlottery.com, everything about this. It's an interesting little pie chart, but I'm reading some of the fine print here. And I don't know, is there anything that you would want to spotlight and circle? Because there's a lot going on here, so I want to give you some oxygen to talk about what you want, but I look down here to say where the money goes. That's where my eye goes. Maryland General Fund, $519 million. Baltimore City School Construction, $20 million. Maryland Stadium Authority, almost $14 million. So I go through all this. Maggie McIntosh, former guest on the Pro, Arts Every Day, $250,000. So like it's itemized here in a way that, I don't know, I don't see this the other 52 weeks of the year because I don't look for it. But I always try to figure out where this money goes, and this is sort of the oxygen we give to this segment every year.
Yeah, it's a question. We get that question all the time, and we love being able to put this piece together.
Well, it's not going to John Martin, Seth Elkin, and Esther the way they think it is.
That's what, like I said, we run the whole operation on 3.7 cents out of each dollar that we make. So there's not that much to go around there, so, you know.
Right, I got you.
But, no, I love the prizes to players number because, as John mentioned, that's what brings people in the door. It's about $4.6 million a day in prize money when you average it out. So, you know, 1,638 prizes of $10,000 or more. We had 33 prizes, again, of $1 million or more.
33 was the year of this.
We landed on 33. So, you know, those prizes are being won on a regular basis. We keep an eye on that. We run a list of high-tier prizes every week on the website, the Week in Winners list, which I think you get in your email and lots of other
sometimes
people do.
Sometimes we talk about that on this program.
And, the winner list, I love putting that together because it highlights the fact that there are significant wins happening all the time.
I love when people from Dundalk win.
Yeah, and we had one of those.
Breaking news.
We had a
Dundalk winner this week.
We had a $50,000 Powerball winner. Somebody walked into a Dundalk resident walked into a store just to get a cup of coffee and said, "Well, you know what? I noticed that the Powerball jackpot's getting up there. Let me get a ticket."
My wife notices that too.
And won a $50,000 prize, one of two that we had last week as the Powerball jackpot has now risen beyond $500 million as we're talking.
50 grand. So. Where are you taking me, hon? Let's get Anacostas. Get some crabs. John, for you with all of this and seeing the sports wagering side come into this, the numbers get a little heady, right? From if you go back and look 5, 7, 10 years ago, the numbers get a lot bigger because of what's happened. But I would even go back to you and kid you about that pick three in 1973, right? And saying, what was the first one of these when lottery came? Oh, you know, we're going to – state's getting into the gambling business. Right. And I'm sure that's the way it was 52 years ago. But just to pick three, it probably was a couple million bucks, and it sounded like a lot of money to the governor then, Marvin Mandel or whoever was stealing it then. I'm making that up.
You know, it's funny. I come down here every year and one of the things I count on is having breakfast with Stanley Fine. Stanley is one of the historians of the lottery industry.
Well, why don't I get him on?
You know what? He'd love that. I'm sure he would. He would blow up. It would be about a three-hour show.
Would I learn anything?
You would learn more than...
Well, then that's all. He must come on.
Well, we'll work that into next year. Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you a quick story, not to interrupt you, but...
Randy, go grab Stanley. Let's get him over here. Let's go.
Stanley, somebody sent us... When we were doing 50th anniversary a couple of years ago, somebody sent me a photo of some piece of giveaway memorabilia that we had. It was a baseball that had been printed with facsimile autographs of former Orioles players, and wanted to know the history. The person wanted to know, where did this come from? What's the history of this? And neither one of us was here when this ball was definitely before our time. So we sent an email. We emailed a photo of the ball to Stanley. And about an hour later, I got a call from Stanley. And for like the next 20 minutes, I got a dissertation on how the lottery was helped out to pay for the construction of Camden Yards. So it was this long story that ended up at, this ball is from when they opened Camden Yards, and that's roughly when it's from. So that's
I was on the radio beginning of 91. So that stadium was revolution. I mean, I don't need to tell you guys. Like, I mean, it's our gateway arch. It changed the city, right?
Still is,
And they put $600 million into it this year, and they're going to change it again. But all of that and stealing the Ravens all happened on my watch in the early 90s. And then building the football stadium was all on my watch. And it was all taxpayers. This is being funded by the lottery. You know, like, we would just say that out loud. I didn't even know what that meant 30 years ago. Right. Now I'm trying to, with you guys, get to the bottom of what that means. And I even learned an hour ago when the mayor of Frederick comes over, talks about MSA, and says, hey, new Frederick ballpark, new Hagerstown. I had the former mayor of Hagerstown, Emily Keller, here. She's doing drug work here in the opioid czaress. She'll be by tomorrow. These stadia are being done by this, right? There's all sorts of facilities that the Maryland Stadium Authority and schools that they're involved in. When I've had at former Maryland Stadium Authority Chairman Tom Kelso, and he was educating me, man, the lottery, just the trickle-down effect of where this money goes, it's coming to Frederick in the form of a new stadium. It's coming to Camden Yards in the form of, that's how the $1.2 billion gets here, right?
So let me take an interesting tack here for you and go a little different direction. Our friends at the American Gaming Association, who I reference frequently, just announced this week that with all these wonderful things going on, in the United States, there is still over $670 billion, with a B, dollars spent illegally in a variety of gaming vehicles. And that's anything from what we call gray machines, which are slot-like machines that are in... They could be in convenience stores, in bars, in all over the state.
I'm from Dundalk. That machine pays.
Exactly.
That's what they would say. I'm familiar with this.
You have, obviously, offshore sports wagering that's not regulated. You can go to our website, and Seth can give you the details on this, but you can sit on your phone today and search online gaming in Maryland and get dozens of websites that pop up. None of them are legal. None of that money that you would invest in those goes to this type of process or MSA or anything like that. Those are strictly done through illegal channels. So we fight a fight every year to go after those illegal markets and have them cease and desist, have them leave, eradicate them as we can. But that is a proverbial whack-a-mole kind of strategy. We're hopeful to get to work with Annapolis and get some more legislative teeth to have things in place that will treat these as criminal activities they are. But with $670 billion spent on illegal gaming in the United States, and you look at what that means in terms of the tens of billions of dollars in lost tax revenue, it's great to have these things printed, but when you look at the potential of what it could be, because players are gonna find channels, and sometimes
that shocks me. You know what I mean?
Look shocked. You look like
I'm just sort of. It's so easy to do it on the up and up, and not have to deal with Louis the bookmaker, his gun, or his heavies, or his people, or how do I find my book? Like, you've made it. I talk about this with the cannabis industry. I can't believe there's still a black market.
Sure.
And it would kill you in that market, right? Like, literally, fentanyl and all that going on. These vice things that have been made legal And it's not to brush it up or clean it up. It's to keep it safe for the players, for humans, for citizens.
And that message does resonate. That message is being heard, and people do migrate from the illegal to the legal and the regulated. We know that. We see that. But it's not complete, and it's certainly not fast enough.
Well, the same was true of Prohibition 100
Absolutely,
years ago,
right?
I mean,
right.
You just don't want illegal activity.
It's funny. Sometimes I'll talk to people, and they'll say, well, like you just said, well, why are they still doing that? And I kind of look at them and think, you know what? Because these are illegal markets. It's in their name. They're never going to say, oh, you win. We're not going to do this. No, they're going to find the next illegal thing to do, and they're going to continue to perpetuate that.
Well, if you were a bookie 10 years ago and you had clientele in Maryland, this coming online probably cost you a lot of money, right? I mean, because people just go to this. But there are still people that they did business with
sure.
that they're like, this is the way I'm comfortable doing it. I don't want the state to know
exactly.
my money. I don't want the banks to know. Like, that's how it
sure.
happens, right?
Sure.
Literally, right?
Sure. A third of all wagering is in the illegal market today.
A third?
Still. That's a lot.
All right. Well, cracking down on that, how does that happen? That involves law enforcement.
It's legislative. It's law enforcement. It's education. It's beyond our tenure. I mean, this is going to go, like you said, go back to Prohibition. I mean, it's not going to end, you know, at a date certain in the future. No. The best you can do is continue to fight the fight and do what you do and preach responsible gaming, put in place the regulations, the guardrails for players, and hope that you'll resonate with them at some point in time.
Speaking of guardrails, you guys got anything on a couple of years into the sports wagering issue here for 1-800-GAMBLER? I know you like to bring those folks on with me. I'm always questioning because... And I've said this a million times. I've had a handful of people in my life very close to me that had a bookie, gambled too much, worried me as a friend, as an employee, as a citizen. I'm like, man, you're a little too attached to that 10 p.m. NBA game,
yeah.
like, you know, between Utah and Golden State, you know, whatever it is. I'm like, you might have a problem, dog. I don't know where they even went if they had a problem 10 years ago, but you're in their face about where they can go now. And at least that's there, right?
Yeah, that's the 1-800-GAMBLER. Helpline will connect you. The first person you're going to talk to when you call that number is going to be one of the peer counselors at the Center of Excellence
Somebody
on
who's
Problem
been a
Gambling.
Probably, yeah.
Somebody who has lived experience with this and can talk to you from that perspective. They're not going to judge, and they know the path that you've been down because they've been down the same path themselves. So that's a huge resource for the state. It's available to people at no cost whatsoever, regardless of your ability to pay, regardless of your insurance status. Anybody can call that number, whether it's you yourself or whether you know somebody that has a problem and you don't know how to talk to them about it. You can get help from someone who's been there.
By the way, I don't think I've ever had a conversation, really, in my life. I've talked to a lot of people that stopped drinking, a lot of people that stopped drugs, a lot of people have been in prison and came out, you know, a lot of reform, whatever, stop smoking, whatever, stop... lost weight, whatever
sure,
it is.
Sure.
The gambling thing, I don't know that I've ever really sat with someone, not even like at the Super Bowl or any of the places I've been, and somebody sat down with me and said, I lost everything. You know, I lost this. Or I was having a problem and I called and this is what helped me. What helped me?
You know, what I would suggest, because September is one of those months of the year that we focus and shine the light on some of these programs. I've got a couple dates in September. I'm not available. Seth should probably either be prepared for what we can do or have somebody else in that peer counselor group participate. But one of the things I'm proud of that we're taking the wraps off is we have produced 4 separate video segments. They'll be on our website in the month of September. And they are focused on vulnerable populations, underage, senior citizens, people who live in rural communities, military veterans. And you look at each of those populations, and they all suffer gambling harms. And some of them you wouldn't think, wow, really? But yeah, they do. And to be able
no one can see a person with a gambling problem, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's different
exactly.
than that person's using drugs, or that person might be eating, or something
yep.
physically
yep.
about them.
Yep.
Often there's nobody in the world. It's completely, you wouldn't tell your friend.
But September is an education month for responsible gaming. I would encourage you and Seth to pick a date that month and really do a deeper dive and maybe even share links to our videos. So, if we can reach someone through this vehicle and we can make a difference. The peer counselor program is amazing. The life stories of these people. will tear you apart.
I'm sure.
And see how they have rebounded and now are paying it back and hopefully opening the door for somebody else's recovery.
Well, I would just say this to any Browns fan or Steelers fan. This is where when the season's be responsible because, I mean, you're not going to win much, either one of you. So, you know, careful.
I didn't see
just
that one
be
coming.
Careful.
Did you see that one coming?
No,
I did
that
not.
One. Next
I did not.
Hit me right between
I
got to
get
eyes.
That in there. Speaking of that, speaking of cheap shots, I'm a Ravens fan. Tickets are coming out next week, right?
22nd.
It is your most popular game, right? I mean, I guess you guys say that to me all the time, much to the chagrin of Steelers and Browns fans, and probably Bengals fans too, but you are offering a special way to get even with the Bengals here, right, this year, right?
Yeah, more details will come forthcoming when you go to mdlottery.com at the end of next week on the 22nd. One of the fan favorites is a travel with the team excursion, so enter into the contest. Hopefully you're selected. We'll have a couple, I don't know how many, maybe two or three. Again, all the details on mdlottery.com.
Yep.
All they need to know is if they win, don't eat the chili. You're
Cincinnati.
An Ohio guy. You know this. Don't eat
Cincinnati.
The chili in Cincinnati.
I want to say the 14th, December 14th.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be a potential game of the year kind of thing. I believe that. I mean, I think the Bengals, I'm not giving you guys a hard time because of your affinities, but I think the Bengals and Joe Burrow in a bounce back this year, I believe in him. So, therefore, if I win that trip, I think – the 12-2 Ravens meet the 10-4 Cincinnati Bengals.
It's going to be a long fall, isn't it?
Jeez.
Longer for you than for me, I think.
Yeah,
but.
I guess. Hey, aren't we out of time?
Man, well, I got Steelers guys cheap shotting the Browns fans on the show. It's time to drop the mic and go back to lunch. Seth Elkin is here, John Martin, executive director of the Maryland Lottery, as well as Seth, of course, on the communication side, talking about 1.589 billion dollars to support state programs in the fiscal year 2025. All right?
Good. Thank you.
Read up on all of this stuff. Get your pie charts out. Find out where all the money is. Now that I know Maggie's cause got 250,000, I got to get her back on to talk about arts every day as well. So you guys are giving me ideas around here. The Maryland Lottery puts us out on the road in the state of Maryland, and I've been all over the state. And this is a little homework for you out-of-state guys. I'm going to give you a little – this is my Visit Maryland part of the Maryland Lottery segment here today. 27th anniversary, I'm doing my 27 favorite things to eat. I didn't want to do them all in Baltimore. I didn't think it'd be right or fair. And I knew this was built into August, so when I put all this together back in March, and I ixnayed the crab soup idea. I was going to do cream of crab, yep. Maybe next year. 27 favorite things to eat. I'm like, where are the things on the Eastern Shore? Yesterday, I put up a status because I took a right-hand turn on Woods Road out of Cambridge, heading south toward Harry Tubman Trail and toward Blackwater Refuge and toward Hooper's Island. My destination was Hooper's Island, which is at the end of the world. It looks a lot like Smith Island now that I've been to Smith Island. It's kind of a neat place you can go drive. Blackwater Refuge, much like when I had the parks guy here talking about Swallow Falls. I told the Deep Creek lady, love Deep Creek. Blackwater is the most beautiful place in the state, and I don't know that it's close. And we have mountains, and I'm two blocks from the beach. I like all of that. But if you've never been to Blackwater Refuge, and I don't know why you would unless you're an outdoors person or a fisher person or birds, just drive through there once. Add an hour to your Ocean City experience and just drive a half an hour. And you don't have to stop. You don't have
Should we go now?
going away home.
Oh, okay.
It's just beautiful. They don't have this in Pittsburgh. Yeah. They don't have this in Cleveland.
No.
They don't even have this in Baltimore, and I love Baltimore. You got to go to the Eastern Shore. You got to see this state.
Question for you. Did you have the cake in Smith Island?
Yes, I did. I was in her kitchen, and I made the cake with
you
her.
You made it?
You don't follow the Maryland Crab Cake Tour close enough, John.
Apparently not.
I've seen that one. Yeah.
See?
I know you eat it. I didn't realize you made
it. It's funny because Randy's supposed to come. PR for... Wicomico, Worcester, give me the right county, but
right.
I think it's Worcester. Crisfield and Smith Island. I had a relationship during the first crab cake tour. I wanted to have a crab cake in every county, and
yep.
I did.
Yep.
Really hard in Denton. Kent County doesn't have a whole lot going on. I almost did the food truck over here in Smithsburg, the carnival, which is Smithsburg, Smithtown, whatever. No, you're gonna crush me. Sharpstown. Sharpstown Fire Department has an oyster and crab thing. But I wanted to go to Crisfield. I'd never been there. I wanted to go to Smith Island. And what happened was the county took me on as a cause, much like they did John Wortham from 60 Minutes.
Okay.
They took him over there. So we took a boat tender from Crisfield over to Smith Island, and we got out, and I went into her kitchen. And you know how they have that funny accent over there? They kind of sound a little bit like they're from England, but they're a little bit from the South. And it's a strange.
Yep.
The Smith Island accent is unique to Smith Island. Yeah. And there's only 200 people to live there. I went to her kitchen, and we made all of the little pan, because they're little cakes. It's like a dozen little teeny cakes. So we had to make all these little pans. And she stacked them all up. She made them in her kitchen.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. You can go find it. Just Google me and Smith Island cake. It'll show up.
Good.
You don't like chocolate?
I love chocolate.
All right. Well, then, Smith Island cake. Go get you one.
All right. Good.
But go to Black Forest.
All right.
Black Water. I said Black Forest. Black Water. Okay. I'm thinking of Black Forest cake.
You're me the cake. Yeah, you're on the cake.
Give me the cherry cake business. John Martin is here. He will never return. Seth Elkin will be here at some point in September. They will somehow not be here if the Browns or the Steelers lose that following week. But if they win, we don't play the Steelers until like December. Who's going to be your quarterback then? Terry Hanratty?
Who knows?
Mike Tomczak? Come on. If I start giving you quarterback troubles, man, will Spurgeon win?
Yeah, what are you down to? Number five, number six now?
Anything
Talk
happens
cheap.
To Lamar,
Talk
I'm not
going
to show up on Wednesday for you guys. Seth and John join me every week here. It's all part of our educational part of the Maryland Lottery and gaming and making sure that we're doing this responsibly. I will be responsibly handing out pressure lucks as well as lucky sevens doublers. I love the sevens because it's our 27th anniversary here at WNST. I'm eating good stuff. We're down here at the beach at Mako. We're going to come back and continue some conversations. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery and the newly minted GBMC Studios. I'm back for more right after this at Baltimore Positive.